Well, this is Veterans Day, and it is good to recognize veterans and to honor them. But it's also good to remember those that don't have the privilege to honor those that sacrificed. Families that said goodbye to sons and daughters that never came home. I think that is the more difficult task. I didn't realize that until one day my son called and said, "I'm being sent to Somalia." Then I realized what families went through. We were blessed by him coming back home to us, but some families was not as fortunate. And as you recognize veterans, please recognize those families. Don't forget them. Don't forget those that came home, but really didn't make it back home. They left a part of them on the battlefields and never returned home, though their physical bodies did. Veterans Day is a hard day for me. But we read in the scripture this morning, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul is writing to a young soldier, helping him to understand that the task before him would be very difficult, but it was very hard. Being a soldier of Jesus Christ is not easy. It was never meant to be easy. It was never told to us that it would be easy. But in fact, Jesus tells us over and over again, if you want to be my soldier, you're going to sacrifice. You're going to be wounded. You're going to lay down your life for me. And for me, that is the ultimate sacrifice. So let us be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for today. Thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for being in this place with us. Speak to us now as only you can. Move in our hearts as only you can move. And Father, I pray that every life in this place be changed. If any is here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray right now that you touch them in a special way. Bring them into your kingdom. Let them become soldiers of Christ. For there's no greater joy, there's no greater blessing, there's no greater honor than serving Jesus. And Lord, there's some here today that has not been faithful to you as they need to be, and I pray for them that they will recommit themselves to your work and to your kingdom. Others here, Lord, are dealing with struggles that you're trying to deal with. If they just move out of the way, you take care of it. Help them to see you. Help us to just see Jesus in this time. Let us see him in all of his glory, all of his power. Let us hear his voice speak to us. I pray for a fresh anointing of your Spirit, a fresh word, a fresh power, that I may speak with the boldness and clarity of Christ, that Jesus might be glorified through this time, for we pray in his name. Amen. November the 11th, 1967. Remember where you was? I do. I was loading on a bus. Parris Island, South Carolina. On November the 10th, Marine Corps birthday, 1967, I graduated from Parris Island, South Carolina. I was headed for Camp Lejeune. I would spend a few weeks in Camp Lejeune. I would come home and spend some time with my family over Christmas. Then around the 1st of January, I would load on a plane and go to California. I would spend a few weeks in California. Then on February the 9th, 1968. I was on a plane landing in Da Nang, Vietnam. We landed there. We got off the plane. We walked into a building. They got us off the plane as quickly as they could. And being in the Marine Corps, you learn that you do everything quickly. You go quickly here, you stand and wait. You go quickly there, you stand and wait. And they got on the plane. They said, get off the plane quickly. So I thought it was just natural in the Marine Corps to do that. What I found out later was they wanted to get the plane off the ground before the Vietnamese started shelling the runway. So we got inside the terminal. We were standing in the terminal, and they began to divide us up, sending us to different places. A friend of mine that was standing next to me that I'd gone through Parris Island with, Camp Lejeune with, and also Camp Pendleton. His name was called, and eight guys right before me, names were called. They were told there was a helicopter waiting for them. They were to get on the helicopter, which they did. We thought, he and I thought, well, we'll be serving in Vietnam together. But when we got there, they separated us, and he never put another foot on Vietnam soil. A helicopter was blown out of the air going into Way City. One man, short, and I would have been the next one on that chopper. But instead, I was told to get on a truck. The next five of us got on that truck. When I got on, I thought it was strange there was a machine gunner sitting on there. There was two guys with M16s. I didn't know if they were going to keep us on the truck or what. But we got on, and we took off. And I went to a place called Death Valley, where I would spend the next 13 months of my life. I remember walking into my squad for the first time. Squad leader looked up, looked at me, and he said, "You'll do." And I thought, well, I've just got here. I can't be in trouble, so I don't know for sure what I can do, but okay. And he said, "You're my radio man." He pointed over to a 35-pound radio, and he said, "Every time you go out in the field, you put that on. Carry it with you. You're my communication." I'd not been trained in radio. I explained that to him, but he didn't seem to mind. And I became the radio man for that squad. I was radio man for 3 months. The first time I went out in the field with my squad leader, his name was Sizemore, he's walking in front of me. He had told me, he said, "Any communication that comes across, you make certain that I get it." I said, "Okay." So I assumed that meant stay close to him. And I was staying right next to him as we were walking across the field. And he stops, he looked at me, and he said, "Back up." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Back up. Don't get within 10 foot of me. And if you hear anything come across the radio, you speak to me and tell me what it is." And I said, "Well, why do you want me so far away from you?" He said, "Because the radio man's the first person shot. And I don't want him to make a mistake." For the next 3 months, I carried the radio for my squad. Then I became the squad leader. I became squad leader because I was the oldest man in my squad. Not age-wise, I was 18 years old. But I was the oldest man in my squad because everybody else was newbies. Everybody else had been either wounded or killed by that point. I went through Vietnam for 13 months. Did not receive a Purple Heart living in Death Valley. In my company, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, I'm the only Marine that I know of that did not get a heart. And I contribute that to one thing. Because people in the United States was praying for me. And I carried a passage of Scripture with me, Psalm 91, that was handed to me before I left this country and was told, "If you will trust God and believe in Him, this Scripture says He will protect you from all that comes against you." And I believed it. And I trusted God. And I made it back. For the first 3 months, as I carried that radio, I learned that there was a lot of chatter that went on the radio. I mean, all hours of the day and night, you would hear different things happening and chatter going on. And I learned to enjoy carrying the radio. I really did. I missed it whenever I had to give it up, and I didn't miss the 35 pounds on my back. But I really missed it because you lost contact with everything that was going on. I mean, if it came across that the enemy was approaching, you were the first one to know it. And there was an advantage to that. Guys around me got to realize that whenever they saw me hit the ground, they knew it was time to fall, because I'd be on the ground when I'd say, "They're coming, fellas, get down." When it came time over the radio, it was time to leave, they'd catch me because I'd be running. They'd all know it was time to leave. No, I'm just kidding. But there was some good things that came across that radio. There was a lot of chatter, but we learned to listen for three things on the radio that I want to share with you this morning about. And the first thing that we dreaded to hear more than anything else on the radio was "move out." Charlie Company, "move out." Now, "move out" just simply meant this. We were leaving the secure area where we was. Now, no place that I was in Vietnam was really secure, but that was the most secure. Our base camp was the most secure place that we could be as Marines in that area. And when the word came out that we were to move out, that meant we were leaving that secure base that we were in. We were going out and we were going to meet the enemy head on. So the words "move out" wasn't good words for us, because it meant that we were leaving, we were going out, and the enemy was out there. We knew that we were going to come into face to face with the enemy, and we knew what was about to happen. But when the words "move out" came, Charlie Company moved out. Now, I believe that Jesus is sitting in the glory of heaven calling out to His church the same message today that I heard over the radio then. And I think if we had had a radio, that He would be piping a word into us, Jesus would be telling the church, "Move out." We are in our secure zone. We are in the good area. This is the area of relaxation. This is the area where we ought to be strengthened. This is the area where we ought to be resupplied. This is the area where we ought to be regrouped. This is the area. The church is the area where we need to come together and find strength from one another. But Jesus says, "Move out." Look at what He says in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 28. You all know the verses as well as I do. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Jesus is calling out to the church, and Jesus is saying, "Go out. Go forth." But I want you to see what He says. He says, "All authority." That word in the Greek language can be translated "all authority" or "all power." And I like the word "all power is given to me." All power has been given to me, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth. Jesus says, "I got the power. It's mine. I got it." Do you understand? The church had been given the power. We got the power. All we got to do is go. Jesus says, "I got the power. All power is mine. Go, therefore." Now, that literally translated means "as you are going." In other words, Jesus is saying to the soldiers of Christ today, "You are going, you just as well do this while you go." You see, this base camp was not meant for us to live in, not for us to dwell in, but this base camp is a place where we come to find security, where we find help, where we find strength, where we find love for one another. But the Bible says we gotta leave. I got news for you. You're gonna leave here in just a few minutes. And you say, "No, I'm gonna stay." Well, you'll stay till you get hungry. And then you're going to leave. Now, we got water, so you have water to drink, but I don't think there's a lot of food around here, unless you're a teacher. I guess if you're a teacher, you get to stay. But if you're not a teacher, you're not allowed back there. So you're going to get hungry. You say, we're going to leave. And Jesus said, because you're being called out, because you're going out, as you go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make disciples of all nations. I want you to go. As you're going, I want you telling people about Jesus. As you're going, I want people to learn about Jesus. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the country today. The country is not in a mess because of Washington. The country is in a mess because the church has stopped going out into the highways and byways, bringing those in that need Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what a difference it would have made if those that had gone to Washington this time had known Jesus as a personal Savior and gone to change Washington for the glory of Jesus, not for the glory of America, not for the glory of our economy, not so we can live better, but that Jesus might be glorified around the world. I tell you right now, it would have made a difference in the election. It would have made a difference in our country. It would make a difference in our world. But the church has taken the fortress, and we don't go out into the highways and the byways and make disciples. Jesus says, after you've made disciples out of them, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he said, I want you to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to teach them how to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. I want you to teach them how to live. I want you to teach them how to obey the commands. I want you to teach them the things that need to be taught in their lives. If you wasn't in Sunday school this morning, you ought to be ashamed of yourself because you didn't get the lessons that you needed. Thought you'd gonna get by without me talking about Sunday school, didn't you? That's where it's taught. That's what Jesus said do. Jesus says, bring them in, lead them to Christ, baptize them, make disciples of them, then teach them. Folks, you can't be taught if you're not here. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to be in the Word. You need to be studying God's Word. You need to have an understanding of what it is that God would have you to do. When we get the understanding of what it is God wants us to do, we will be glad to move out. But we're afraid to move out because we don't understand that we got the power. Satan has already convinced us he got the power. The government has convinced us they got the power. Judges have convinced us they got the power. They don't have the power. Jesus says, I got the power. And I give my power to you. Look over at the book of Acts with me for just a moment. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus getting ready to ascend into the glory of heaven. And this is what he says. It is not for you to know the hour, to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that we might be a witness for Jesus Christ. And if we're not going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, we don't need the power. He gives us the power to go, and we need to be obedient unto the Lord and go and do that which He has called us to do. You see, the first words that we would hear coming across that radio was move out. But then there was a second command that you always listen for on the radio. And that second command would be stand fast. Stay where you are. Now listen to me for a moment. In the 3 months that I carried the radio and the other months that I led a squad, I never received an order when I was on the base camp to stand fast. Never was told when we were in the base camp, stand fast. Now, our base camp was hit a few times. In fact, it was almost overrun twice. And we were never told, stand fast. We had enough sense to know we ought to stand there. Folks, when the enemy attacks your home base, you're going to stand. And you're going to fight. Because you got no place else to go. That's it. But you see, when you're out in the field and you're out facing the enemy and those words, stand fast, comes across that radio, those are not good words. You don't like those words. You never want to hear them because what that means is you don't move to your left. You don't move to your right. You don't go forward. You don't go backward. You die in that spot until you receive orders to do something else. You stay where you are. Don't move any place. You stand fast where you are. Well, listen to me. Here's what God tells us. God tells us in the book of Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 13, He says, watch, stand in the faith, be brave, be strong, stand fast, children of God.
The Bible is telling us that we need to stand for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We need to stand fast in the faith. I am so tired of today hearing that there are many ways to God. There are many ways that you can arrive there. If you are a good, faithful Buddhist, and you follow Buddha, and you follow the direction of Buddha, and you do all the things that Buddha tells you to do, that you're going to the path to God. If you're a Hindu and you follow all the right things of the Hindu faith, which I'm not sure what all the right things are because that's pretty much anything, and you follow the Hindu faith and you do it like you're supposed to, then you're going to the kingdom of God. If you're a good Jewish person and you follow the kingdom according to the Jewish faith, then you're going to God. And if you are a Muslim, then you follow the faith, you're going to God. We're all going to the same place. We're all going to the same God. We all have an understanding of the same God. Let me tell you something, folks. They ain't going. Now, somebody told me one day, said, "Preacher, you're one of the most narrow-minded people that I know." I said, "Well, you ought to meet Jesus." Amen? Jesus is the most narrow-minded person that I've ever seen or heard about. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're coming to the Father, you're going to come through me, and you ain't coming no other way." That's a hillbilly translation. Jesus says, that is narrow-minded. Jesus says, the way under the kingdom of God is narrow. It is narrow because there is only one way to the kingdom of God. And that way is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way except through the blood of Christ. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. It's through the blood that Jesus shed. And if you're trying to get there any other way, you ain't going. You see, there has to be a time in your life that you've committed your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. There has to be a time in your life that you personally have received Jesus Christ into your heart. I'm not talking about your mother's faith, your father's faith, your grandparents' faith. I'm not talking about the Baptist faith, the Methodist faith, or the Lutheran faith, or Catholic faith. I'm not talking about any faith. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There has to be a time in your life that you repented of your sin, you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord of Lords, and you received the Holy Spirit into your life and your heart. If you did that, then you're a child of God. If you didn't, you're on your way to hell. And you better get it right this morning, because there ain't no other way except the way of the blood. We need to stand fast in our faith. When people begin to tell us there are many ways to the kingdom of God, we need to rise up as a church and say, "Oh no, there's one way. That's the way through Jesus Christ, and there is no other way." Man, we've been silent too long. But not only that, my friend, we need to stand where God's already told us to stand. Somebody said, "You know, I just don't know what to do with some issues in my life." Somebody wants an abortion and I just don't know what to tell them. You tell them what God told them. Murder of a baby is murder. I don't care what tag you put on it. You call it abortion, you call it anything else, it's still murder. You're taking the life of an unborn child. That's murder. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know where to stand with this homosexual movement that's going on in our society today, preacher. You know, the government says this and the court says that. And people like you radical preachers, are going to get thrown in jail one of these days. And we just don't want to go to jail. Maybe it's time some of us start going to jail for our beliefs. Our ancestors went to jail for their beliefs. That's what brought them to America in the first place. And we need to rise up and stand on our beliefs." And the Bible says that homosexuality is not of God. The Bible says that it is an abomination to God. The Bible says that God detests it. God gives people over to their own degenerate minds when those things begin to happen. And do you realize, just this past election, we put the first open homosexual in Washington to govern the United States of America. That's sick. And the church... the church that's being called to stand says, "Oh, there's nothing we can do about it." I tell you, my friend, there is something we can do about it. We can change our world, and we need to change her. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, I understand that. But, you know, this drug stuff and you know, marijuana is good for the economy, don't you? Y'all realize that? I mean, two states... in this past election, passed laws to smoke marijuana openly, freely. And now the government is setting up a standard whereby you can do this. You know, you can grow your own. If you're growing it for your own use, it's okay. No problem. Everything's going to be fine. But if you're going to grow it to sell, you're going to have to pay some taxes. Amen. And you're going to have to pay about $5 million they think they're going to make in taxes with the sale of marijuana. Let's see now, back in the 1930s, they wanted to legalize alcohol because it was good for the economy. And look at all the tax money that was going to come in. Well, they brought the tax money in. Do you realize we pay out five times in tax money over relation, over problems that is caused by alcohol in our society today and what we take in tax money? You see, folks, God has told us, let the Holy Spirit be in control of our bodies and our minds. Don't let something outside come in to infect our minds. It is degenerating unto God. And we as soldiers of Jesus Christ need to rise up and say, oh no, this just is not right. Now we need to bring a stop to it. And folks, we got the power. Jesus done told us if we would move out, I'd give you the power. Problem is, we don't want to move out because, yes, some may go to jail. Some may get hurt. Some may even get killed. But we need to move. And we need to stand exactly where God tells us to stand. But as I listened to that radio, oh, one other thing about standing. Down in Western Kentucky, it didn't happen to me. I pastored in Western Kentucky, but I just read this story back in history. Down in Western Kentucky, they were having a business meeting in a church, and they were discussing some major issue. In fact, the story didn't even tell me what the major issue was, so I'm certain it was something important, probably over what color the pews ought to be, or what color the carpet need to be, or whether there ought to be three steps or four going up on the altar. I'm sure you know it's major stuff. That's usually what Baptists fight about, it's major stuff. You know, it's strange to me. I've never had an argument with a single Baptist yet about who's going to go witness that lost person out there. Have you? Have you? Tom, I know you go out. Have you ever had anybody fighting you, telling you? I never have either. Isn't that strange? That's what Jesus told us to do. He didn't tell us to fight about a building. He told us to fight the enemy. And the many enemies out there. So I think sometimes he made it inside. But anyway, behave over there. Anyway, they were having this business meeting over something major important. And this was down in Western Kentucky where women were not allowed to speak in church. They couldn't make motions. And this one lady back in the back lifts up her hand. And you want to put a deacon in a bad spot, man. This will do it quicker than anything. And this deacon was moderating the meeting because that was his job. And he looked back there and he saw this lady lift up her hand. And he knew that she wasn't supposed to speak. She wasn't supposed to make a motion. But he knew the lady and he knew he'd better recognize her. Now, folks, that's between a rock and a hard place. You understand that? I mean, listen, you're in trouble. Because you're in trouble with the church if you do. You're in trouble with her if you don't. And he's more scared of her than he was the church, I think, because he finally looked back there and he said, Miss, what do you need? You know you're not allowed to make a motion. I don't want to make a motion. I want to make a recommendation and let one of you fine men make the motion. And he said, well, okay, I guess you can do that. Go ahead. And she said, well, I got to ask the question. How much money do we have in the treasury? And he told her how much money was in the treasury. And she said, well, she said, I want to make a recommendation for one of you fine men to stand up and make a motion. And I want to make a recommendation that we take all the money that we have in the treasury. We go down here to the corner store and we buy all the starch that money will buy. And you bring that starch back here and you give it to us ladies and we will mix it up for you. That's back before they had the bottle starch. They just had box starch. And said, you bring it back here and we will stir it up and we will mix it up real good. And then we're going to line you men up across the front of the church. And we're going to put that starch on your back. So that you will have the backbone to stand where God has already told you to stand. Well, believe me, I'm telling you something. I don't know how much money we got in the treasury, Jack, but I'm going to tell you something. It's time we take that money and we buy some starch. and we line all the members of Calvary Baptist Church across this front, and we put a little starch on their back so that we will have the backbone to stand where God has already told us to stand. We don't need to know where to stand. We know where to stand. We just need the power and the backbone to do it. Third word that would come across that radio as I carried it. First one was move out. That wasn't a good word. It was a terrified word. Stand fast wasn't a good word. But then you would sometimes hear the word come across, move back. Charlie Company, move back. Now listen to me for a moment. You never heard those words in a base camp. You always heard those words when you were fighting the enemy. And when it got so dark that it looked like you wasn't going to make it. When the enemy became so strong that you knew the enemy was going to overrun you and overpower you. When it became so dark and it looked like all of you on top of that hill was going to die. And then you hear on the radio, move out, move back, retreat. Now, listen, I'm a John Wayne fan. I love to watch John Wayne. And I know John Wayne never retreated from anything. And I understand that. I understood that when I went to Vietnam. Man, he was the only example that I had of what a warrior was. And I'd watched most of his war pictures, and I knew you just don't retreat. And I thought retreating was a bad thing until in Vietnam I come to figure out real quick that it wasn't a bad thing. Every once in a while, a good retreat's better than a bad stand any day. And when those words would come across, you would back up. You would begin to get back out. And when you would get back out, the heavy artillery would come in and the mortars would come in and the B-52s would come over and the shells would begin to fall. And I mean, man, it was just like 4th of July all over again. Then you'd hear on the radio, now, go take the tree line. And you know, when you took the tree line that time, there wasn't any fight left. In fact, you probably take a tree line and never fire a shot because the heavy artillery come in. You see, I think sometimes God is just telling us as His soldiers, if you'll just get back out of my way, I'll take care of it. If you just get out of the way, I can't solve the problem that you're dealing with right now because you're standing in the middle of the problem and you won't get out of the way. But God, I gave it to you. No, you didn't. No, you told God how to fix it. But you didn't give it to Him. You're still in the midst of it. You're hanging in there. You're standing right in the midst of it. And God is saying to you, you've got to get back out of the way. If you'll move back out, I'll take care of the problem. But I can't take care of the problem with you in the midst of it. Because if I take care of the problem while you're in the midst of it, you're going to get hurt. Remember the story? Sodom. Lot living in town. Y'all don't have time to go through all that story. You need to read it sometime. Lot started out here and it wound up in town. He was a country boy and went to the city. And he gets into the city. God's going to destroy the city and He sends the angels in. Lot ministers to them. They tell Lot, we're fixing to destroy the city. And Lot begins to piddle around. He begins to look at all that he had. Folks, all he had was about to be destroyed by fire. It didn't matter what he had. And the angel says something strange to Lot. He says, get out. Get out. I can't do anything until you are gone. Get out. Go to the mountain. And he said, but what about that little village over there? Finally, go to the village. Get out of this city. I can't do what God sent me here to do until you get out of the way. Folks, I'm telling you something. That's exactly what's wrong with many of our lives today. We're trying to take care of it ourselves. And God is saying, if you'll just get out of the way, I'll take care of it. Now, He may not take care of it the way we want. He may not fix it the way we think is best. But God says, I'll fix it. And when I fix it, I'll fix it right. I'll take care of it if you just get back out of the way. You see, we're soldiers of Jesus Christ, Paul says. And we need to experience this ideal of the hardship of a soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, we that have been born again by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ are soldiers of Christ. We are enlisted into an army of God. I wonder this morning, are you in that army? Has there been a time in your life that you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? If not, you're not a part of the army. And you need to be.
You need to surrender your life to Jesus today. You need to commit your life to Him. You need to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Let the Holy Spirit empower you and fill you and use you for the glory and the power of His kingdom. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn. And as we sing that hymn, we're going to invite you to just come and take me by the hand and just tell me that you want to know Jesus. And I'll help you understand what you need to do to commit your life to Christ. If you're here today, we invite you to become a soldier of Jesus Christ. But some of you here today, you're soldiers of Christ, but you haven't been in the battle. Man, you haven't been fighting the war. You haven't been out doing what Jesus told us to do. And I'm telling you this morning, it's time for you to repent of your sin and begin to move as God would have you to move and to work as God would have you to work. Some of you here today just need to be refreshed in the base camp. Man, you need to repent of that sin that's in your life and give it over to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, if you'll take care of this problem for me, I'll never touch it again. I'll never do it again. But all Jesus, you take care of it today. You see, some of you just need to experience that. You're soldiers of Christ. We're living in the power of Christ. Our lives ought to reveal that marvelous power. Heavenly Father, touch us this morning as only you can. Bring us to that place of dedication and commitment to you. Let your Holy Spirit minister to us this morning and bring us to that place of decision. Some here today, Lord, need to commit their lives to you. Some here today need to recommit themselves to you. Some just need to join this base camp. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you stir their hearts right now. Show them what it is you'd have them to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.